friends, for the next 3 weeks, we will hear the gospel reading from the Gospel of John. More popularly, the section that we are going to be talking about is called the Bread of Life Discourse. In the church, because of the centrality of the Eucharist, we keep aside time to reflect upon the meaning of the words of Jesus, particularly about the bread of life. We give so much importance to this that actually not just 3 weeks, but 5 weeks are set aside to talk about the bread of life. Remember, last week we began with the multiplication of the loaves. 3 weeks from now, we will hear how some of the disciples of Jesus abandoned following him because they said, "This saying is too hard." So between the multiplication of loaves and the disciples abandoning Jesus, for 3 weeks we will talk about the Bread of Life discourse. And I'll tell you, it'll be hard to come up with homilies that have to do with the same thing and keep you interested and keep my interest in it as well. But we're going to try. As we hear Jesus' words today in the Gospel, where he says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." Our minds naturally go to the Eucharist, and I'm sure John had the Eucharist in his mind when he wrote this as well. But I want to keep the Eucharistic themes for the coming weeks. What I want to do today is talk about some of the what I would call unconventional interpretations of the Bread of Life discourse. And I want to talk about three of those interpretations. The question that I asked myself as I prepared this homily is this. If Jesus says, "I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst," my experience tells me that even after I've eaten of the bread and I've drunk of the cup, that I will get hungry. In fact, after the 8 o'clock mass this morning, I went and had breakfast. Jesus says, "If you eat this bread, you will never die." But we have buried people that we love. So what does Jesus mean by saying, "You will never hunger, you will never thirst, you will never die"? Is it just focusing on the spiritual, or is there more to it? So that's the kind of thing that I want to explore with you today. So here's the first thing I want to say. Jesus says to the crowds, "Work not for food that perishes, but for food that endures for eternal life." When I ask myself the question, what does Jesus mean by it? My mind goes to two other places where Jesus connects food and spirituality. So for example, in the desert, when Jesus was hungry, the devil came to him and said, "Transform the stone into bread." And Jesus responds to the devil saying, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." There's another place where Jesus connects food and spirituality. So the story of the Samaritan woman. The disciples had gone out to get food. When they came back, they offered the food to Jesus and they said, "Rabbi, eat." And Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and finish his work." Folks, food and water are among the most basic human necessities. Think about it. From the time a child is born, by the time they reach the age of reason, we educate them. We make sure they can be independent, they get a job. Why? Because we want our most basic necessities, the most basic human needs to be met. How much time, how much money, how much energy do we spend on making sure that our life can be secure? What is Jesus saying when he said, "My food is to do the will of my Father"? He's saying as much time, energy, and resources we spend trying to fulfill the basic needs of life, as much energy we focus on making sure our life is secure, that much energy the disciples of Jesus must spend in discerning God's will. "My food is to do the will of my Father" doesn't mean Jesus didn't eat. But he knew that along with trying to fulfill the basic needs of life, we must spend time discerning, what's the purpose for which God has sent me? After all, we can provide for all the basic needs, but on the last day, if we stand before God without knowing what God had sent us for to the earth in the first place, what use would that be? And Jesus is saying, if you do not understand the will of God for you, if you haven't discerned God's will for you, and if you do not try to live according to God's plan for you, you will always be hungry. You will always be thirsty. Because in spite of providing for your basic needs, there will be this gaping hole in your life because you have never come to Christ to understand the meaning and purpose of life. "My food is to do the will of the Father who sent me." So that's the first way to look at what Jesus is talking about, hunger and thirst. The second thing I want to talk about is one more time the words of Jesus where he says, "Do not work for food that perishes, but for food that endures for eternal life." And in the first reading, you hear about the Israelites grumbling because they had no food. And it seems to me that both these readings are trying to tell us that the spiritual is more important than the carnal, that bodily needs are subservient to the spiritual needs. Yet, it must not lead us to underestimate the basic human need for food. See, I understand this because I cannot fast. I get debilitating headaches when I fast, and my doctors have told me this is not for you. When I hunger, gosh, I'm a different kind of a man. And I understand the grumbling of the people of Israel in the desert. They grumbled. And I think in one way we can understand that to say that hunger brings desperation. The body can only take so much hunger, after which our instinct for survival takes over. Moreover, for us in the Christian tradition, our bodies are earthen vessels in which God's Spirit is what we carry. So the body is not meant to hunger. The body is not made to be starved. Fasting is a different discipline, but the body is meant to be nurtured and taken care of. So I want to interpret Jesus, his words, by saying, when he says, "Those who come to me will not hunger and those who come to me will not thirst," I think Jesus is saying that if we are disciples, if we have come to Jesus, if we know what Christ do for us, then disciples will not allow those around them to hunger. We must take care of one another. After all, that's exactly what Jesus did. He taught them, but after teaching them, he fed them. Those who come to me will not hunger. The community of disciples take care of one another and do not allow those among them to hunger and thirst. Who are the hungry today? Who are the hungry? And I don't mean spiritually. I mean those mothers who become desperate, like the people in Israel, because they see their children starving. Parents who see children die in front of their eyes because there is just no food. Sometimes we must work for the food that is earthly. And as disciples, believers in Jesus, provide for one another's needs. That is what a Christian is called to do. That is what a disciple must do. And thirdly, I want to talk about hunger and thirst as the futility of the mind. Hear what St. Paul says in today's second reading. He says, "You must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. That is not how you learned Christ." So, the futility of the mind. In the beginning, I spoke about hunger as not responding to what God's will is for me. I also spoke about hunger that is physical, but then there's also hunger of the mind. Futility of the mind, Paul says. So, Jesus, in today's gospel reading, he had just finished multiplying the loaves. That was a great sign. And yet people ask him the question, what sign can you provide? What can you do? They said to him. Folks, if we do this in our relationship with one another, it would be very tragic. Imagine parents telling their children, well, what can you do? Or parents, if they had to evaluate the children based on how much they make. Or a husband and wife evaluating each other based on their investment. What can you do? Futility of the mind. The crowds came to Jesus. What can you do? And Jesus says, this is what you must do if you want to give up the futility of the mind. To believe in the one whom God sent. And I think what that means is stopping asking God to work on our terms. God, we will accept you for who you are. Allowing God to be God in our lives. Because when we enter into debating with God, when we enter into questioning God's plan for us, then we enter into the futility of the mind. And I think Paul is saying, people like that will always be hungry, always be thirsty. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. He who comes to me will never thirst. I think Jesus means that spiritually. I think Jesus means that physically. I think Jesus means that as a matter of the mind. So as I said, I tried to present three unconventional interpretations of Jesus' words. And next week and the week after, we'll focus more on the Eucharistic themes. But as the bread and wine is brought forward, we realize and we recognize that this is the bread that comes down from heaven, and we come to God today in unconditional faith. We don't ask the question, what can you do? Rather, we say, God, we give of ourselves to you just as you are giving yourself to us. In doing so, may we not hunger. In doing so, may we not thirst. People of God said,